Chapter 7. Saturday. The Haninozuka Home. Raccoons were generally nocturnal. However, the one in Morinozuka's arms looked alert and happy, nuzzling into his armpit. Though he'd been assured, and repeatedly, that Pome was sweet and reasonably tame, Hideyoshi kept his hands to himself. Morinozuka and Honey both had younger brothers, and the younger Morinozuka had the elder's same propensity for serving tea. Thus, Hideyoshi sat with a steaming cup between his hands, on a deck chair by an ornamental water feature surrounded with black stones, not 50 yards from a sprawling Zen sand garden. When he put his bare feet down, they rested in soft, cool grass. Morinozuka sat on the ground with the raccoon in his lap, Honey perched on a deck chair next to Hideyoshi. A fat, yellow chick, growing into gawky adulthood, pecked sullenly through the grass nearby. The younger boys moved through the yard, passing in and out of the Haninozuka house, so Satoshi could pester his older brother, and Yasuchika could see the chick while feigning disinterest. For a space so full of motion, Honey and Morinozuka were both remarkably still. Pome and Usa-chan filled their laps. One wiggled contentedly, and the other, still and sweet. Hideyoshi sipped his tea. Honey had a pitcher of water, from which he and Morinozuka refilled their glasses. He nuzzled his chin into Usa-chan's head and said, "So, you can tell the twins apart already?" Hideyoshi looked over and shrugged. "More or less. We've known them for a long time, but sometimes it's still hard," said Honey, smiling. "How long is a long time?" murmured Hideyoshi, unable to hide his curiosity. 2 years? We really started spending time together when Tama-chan founded the host club." Hideyoshi paused, then sighed. "He founded it." "Yep, Tama-chan's the president, and Kyo-chan's the director."
"I find it hard to believe that someone like Otori
has a very hard time saying no to Tama-chan. I didn't either. But I guess that's why they're best friends." Honey smiled, having a sip of water. "Tama-chan's all about making other people feel happy. Kyo-chan just makes sure he can really pull it off."
Hideyoshi tilted his head. "I also find that hard to believe. And you just listen to them? They're underclassmen compared to you."
"Well, sure, but it's their club. Takashi's in charge of the kendo team, and I used to be head of the karate team, so we're both experienced leaders already. It's their turn."
Hearing such solemn, mature words coming from such a cherubic face gave Hideyoshi pause.
"Leadership?"
"That's a lot of what Ouran is all about," said Honey, nodding. "One of its main emphases is the cultivation of leadership skills."
"I can think of few that are lacking," muttered Hideyoshi.
Honey's smile softened.
"But that's why we're working on them. And obviously, there are a lot of things the school can't teach. We've all learned a lot from Haru-chan, and from you, too."
"I'm not a teaching aide," said Hideyoshi, a frown tugging at the corners of his mouth.
"No, and you don't have to feel like you should be. But I know for sure you're really teaching Kyo-chan and Kao-chan a lot about what to expect from different types of people."
Hideyoshi, remembering Kaoru's exaggerated fear that Otori might have set a date with him first, flushed uncomfortably.
"What exactly am I teaching them?"
"Kyo-chan needs to learn it's not nice to gamble with other people's time. And Kao-chan, well..."
Hideyoshi frowned and looked away.
"Not nice is an understatement. I don't even understand why Otori did it."
Honey tilted his head to the side.
"Kyo-chan isn't normally an impulsive person."
"Except for that one time with the rock and the camera," said Morinozuka, without looking up from Pome.
"Even then," argued Honey, "he had good aim."
Morinozuka considered this, then flipped Pome onto his back and rubbed his belly.
"This was his way of ensuring that we could keep an eye on you, Kinoshita."
Hideyoshi's frown deepened. "I don't need to be babysat," he snapped, feeling suddenly childish. It's not like that. Takashi's right. Hika-chan and Kao-chan got really upset when they found out that you and Yuko-chan don't get along very well. But now that you're in the host club, they'll get to see that you're okay.
Honey shrugged, nuzzling his chin into Usa-chan's head. It's pretty rare that the twins worry about anybody other than each other.
Hideyoshi huffed. I must not be a very good teacher then.
Honey laughed. No, we're just slow learners. Haru-chan's been working on them for months now. They were worse.
Hideyoshi wrinkled his nose. They're pretty bad now. And why is Fujioka the only one that can, work on them?
Honey raised his eyebrows at him, and Hideyoshi felt the heat rising in his face before he broke, looking away. He frowned out at the grass and met eyes with the chick. It was fat and fluffy, losing its down for its adult feathers. It watched him for a moment, then picked its way over to Morinozuka and gave Pome a solid peck on the end of its tail. As the two squabbled and Morinozuka soothed them both, Hideyoshi muttered, "This is ridiculous."
"It's hard," said Honey softly, "when the person you like best likes someone else."
"There's room in his lap for both of them if they'd share," said Hideyoshi softly, purposefully missing the point.
Honey went along with it and laughed. "Maybe, but they like to fight over him. They've never really hurt each other. And anyway, Chika-chan's got a pretty good way with Pio."
Morinozuka lifted his head and called, "Satoshi! Coming!" The sound of boy feet thundering through the house accompanied Satoshi dragging Yasuchika to the backyard.
"Yeah? Are you done with lunch?"
Satoshi nodded and immediately came outside and lifted Pome into his arms. The raccoon squirmed, made grumpy noises, then settled. Yasuchika shuffled his feet by the door, already flushed at the sight of Pio fervently nuzzling the underside of Morinozuka's chin.
"Come on," said Satoshi, hefting Pome to get a better grip. "These guys can't come inside."
Yasuchika came forward to rather tenderly accept Pio, his hands gentle, though his jaw was set and his eyes were tight and his tone rattled at the base of his register as he grunted his assessment. Hideyoshi glanced to Honey.
"Does that mean you want to go inside?"
"Your nose is pinking," said Honey simply, and grinned. "Plus, there's cake."
Yasuchika paled. Hideyoshi blinked. He touched the end of his nose, then wrinkled it, feeling the first mild tightness that came with a growing sunburn.
"Okay," he said. "But is it really smart to eat cake so soon after a workout?"
Honey hopped to his feet. "Of course it is! If your brain doesn't get enough carbohydrates, it can't tell the rest of your body to recover."
Hideyoshi hummed a little.
"Oh well, if you say so."
Morinozuka patted Satoshi on the head and waited, patiently, for both Hideyoshi and Honey to go inside. As Hideyoshi, too, stepped up onto the hardwood, he murmured,
"I can't get over how well-mannered the Morinozuka family is."
He turned to face Morinozuka, watching the tall boy toe out of his shoes.
It's not something you see all that often. Except in movies.
He realized he'd stepped in it, but Morinozuka was just smiling at him. Hideyoshi barely came up to Morinozuka's armpit, but never once did he feel loomed over.
Honey said, "Well, Takashi's always had pretty traditional values."
Hideyoshi blinked. He looked up at Morinozuka and half-smiled.
"You seem so much older than everyone else, even though it's only by a year."
Morinozuka's smile turned wry. "You refer to yourself like you're an old man," he rumbled in response.
"My choice of pronoun is just meant to eliminate any confusion about my gender identification," began Hideyoshi, flushing.
Morinozuka's smile broadened gently. "My manners are a matter of family allegiance."
Honey huffed a little. "It's an allegiance that was dissolved a few generations ago, but that hasn't stopped Takashi."
"The Morinozuka line has been the stewards of the Haninozuka line. Even now, we're born around the same time to complement one another.
Neglecting that responsibility merely because we've become cousins would be unforgivable.
Morinozuka looked over his shoulder to where their younger brothers were playing with animals.
Satoshi may not feel the same loyalty, but he cares about Yasuchika.
Hideyoshi looked up at him and let out a breath.
That's one hell of a conviction.
I don't break oaths, said Morinozuka.
Honey had already settled in a chair, a piece of cake on a fine plate balanced on the armrest. We'd be best friends either way, he said, his tone insistent and even.
I never said, began Hideyoshi, then cut himself off. If he'd been bound to servitude by family law, he'd resent it. But Morinozuka had volunteered himself after the law had been annulled.
You can call me Mori, said Morinozuka. Everyone else does.
Briefly, he let his hand rest on Hideyoshi's shoulder as he passed. He settled beside Honey, looking completely at peace. Outside, Yasuchika began to cry at the unfairness of Satoshi's rough treatment.
So you're aristocracy, aren't you? To need stewards?
Hideyoshi tucked his arms around himself. Honey smiled a little. It used to be that way, but both our families run businesses now, so I guess you could say we've modernized.
Hideyoshi looked between them, then shook his head. He knew he was in over his head, but every passing moment made it clearer. Is it like that for all of them?
More or less, agreed Honey. Or, well, where Class A is concerned. So, all of the hosts, for sure.
Hideyoshi chewed on the inside of his cheek, thinking suddenly about daisies and eggs, yellow cupcakes with white frosting. So, all the new money is in the lower classes?
That's generally true, except in rare cases, agreed Honey, not looking uncomfortable with it. Each class is taught based on the responsibilities we're going to have when we're adults. Entrepreneurs have different priorities than established family lines.
You make it sound so positive, said Hideyoshi. He smoothed the hem of his own shirt. So, what about Fujioka?
Haru-chan got in on her grades. She's the top of her class, but she doesn't have to take business electives if she doesn't want to.
Hideyoshi considered this. He opened his mouth,
shut it, opened it again.
What if she's not top of her class?
Honey tilted his head and looked to Mori. If she's not, she loses the scholarship. It's really competitive.
Hideyoshi raised his eyebrows. And she's still taking time to be a host.
She's really smart, said Honey, shrugging. If her scholarship were ever in danger, we'd make sure she had time to study. So far it's worked out.
Worked out, Hideyoshi echoed.
Kinoshita, rumbled Mori. She isn't a slave.
Whatever you think of the host club, Haru-chan's there for the same reason we all are. We like it.
She owes you money.
Honey smiled a little wryly. She's paying it off by being a host. Think about it.
Hideyoshi sat heavily on a chair inside and sank deeply into it. His feet dangled. He grunted. This is so undignified.
As he struggled to sit up straighter, Honey said, The circumstances for both of you joining us are similar, but not exactly the same. I can understand where you're upset by it, but Haru-chan has stayed with us, even when she had opportunity not to. She's as devoted to proving she's a boy as we were.
With a heave, Hideyoshi got his feet on the ground again. He shifted to find a stronger part of the cushion and a little bit of balance. He frowned at Honey. You're saying she stays because she likes it.
Honey smiled a little. Kyo-chan always says she's making enough money for us to balance it out, but we all know it's not true.
So, what's the point?
Hideyoshi settled for sitting cross-legged in the chair, his hands balanced on either side of his hips. He felt impossibly small in it, dwarfed by the armrests and the cushioned back. Of which part?
Honey nuzzled Usa-chan and had a sip of tea.
Hideyoshi considered it.
Of saying that she owes you when it's completely arbitrary. Oh, because then she'd have to say she was staying because she likes us. And you should never force someone to admit they like something when they're not ready. Honey grinned.
Oh, four. Hideyoshi pinched the bridge of his nose.
Sometimes it feels like everything in this house is a metaphor, doesn't it?
Mitsukuni, that's a simile, said Mori.
When Hideyoshi laughed, he lost his balance again and sank into the chair. But still, he couldn't help but mumble,
good thing I don't have anything to admit.
Mori busied his mouth with a teacup. Honey smiled.
Of course you don't.
Hideyoshi flushed. I don't. They couldn't possibly know he had a not date with Kaoru. Unless Kaoru told them. He was beginning to feel like a very small child, especially in the face of both of their unflappable calm.
Mori poured a little more tea for Honey.
Honey said, we believe you. Hideyoshi let out a slow breath through his nose. The chair was somewhat like quicksand. The less he struggled, the easier it was to regain his balance. The whole house was a den of metaphors and simile. He sank down into the chair and ran both hands through his hair.
Exactly.
Ah, no! Satoshi, you're so mean! Cried Yasuchika, blasting through the house at top speed.
Satoshi, pelting after him, bellowed, running through the house is so rude! Get back here and apologize!
Mori sipped his tea and sighed. Hideyoshi suddenly felt much older. He straightened up in the chair and said,
your brothers are, energetic.
There's going to be a secondary training exercise this afternoon. It's a good thing they're resting up.
Honey rolled out his shoulders.
A secondary training exercise? I thought you already had a workout this morning.
Honey smiled.
Well, yeah, but it's recruiting time for the Black Onion Squad, and Takashi and I are letting our brothers watch while we test them out.
Hideyoshi raised an eyebrow.
What are you teaching to rotten vegetables?
Honey laughed. No, no, it's Kyo-chan's family's private police force. Once he found out that our families have trained most of his tenured soldiers, he decided to cut out the middleman and ensure that all of his black onions are students of either the Haninozuka or Morinozuka School of Martial Arts.
Wait, what about your parents?
Honey tilted his head.
What about them? I've been the head of training since I started high school, and Takashi's the same way.
Reeling, Hideyoshi said.
Oh.
Mori nodded. Once Mitsukuni surpassed his father, the honorable thing for Haninozuka-sama to do was step down. It was decided that I, as unofficial steward, would take my father's place as well.
He earned it, said Honey with a smile.
Hideyoshi swallowed.
So where are you going to go after high school ends, then? Is that going to be what you do for your families?
Honey looked over to Mori.
In part, said Honey. But there are other, more experienced teachers that are highly trained in both of our schools. Kyo-chan just wanted us specifically for his family's force, for this occasion.
And he's got the authority to do that?
Asked Hideyoshi, again feeling like he was in over his head. These boys that called themselves hosts, that gambled and teased and flirted, who were Hideyoshi's age, had the authority to train armies, to command security forces, to run their family's businesses.
I get the impression he suggested it to his father. He doesn't have the same operational responsibilities we do, because he's not the oldest son.
Hideyoshi huffed.
It's always about hierarchy, isn't it?
You say that like it's a surprise. You may be twins, but I already know your sister's older than you are.
3 minutes, agreed Hideyoshi, his frown deepening.
Honey smoothed the cloth over Usa-chan's head.
3 minutes is almost nothing, but it makes her older, and that has meaning. The arbitrary nature of certain things doesn't change only because you have more money than the average person. You know, Kao-chan's the younger twin, too.
I know, said Hideyoshi.
Honey let out a little sigh.
So, has he asked you out yet or not? Hideyoshi leaned back so far he thumped against the cushion of the chair.
Whoa, when did this become?
It always has been. It's not going to be too long before we graduate, you know. We're nosy in our old age.
Hideyoshi glanced to Mori, who gave him a mild smile.
If Hideyoshi were being honest with himself, if he'd had the pick of the host club from the get-go, he'd have chosen Mori in a heartbeat. Tall, quiet, earnest, unexpectedly funny Mori, who was older and exuded a calmness that came with being just that much closer to maturity than Hideyoshi. But he could also tell that Mori's serenity came in proximity to Honey, and that if they did not love each other, Mori was at least devoted enough to being an unofficial steward that he wouldn't take the time to entertain Hideyoshi's interest. Honey was too cute, though there was something appealing in being the bigger of the two partners. Hideyoshi had long resigned himself to the thought that he was about done growing, and that no matter who he ended up with, girl or boy, he'd be on tiptoe for the rest of his romantic life. And, with the way Honey danced between calculated adorableness and barely softened bluntness, he knew Honey was too far out of his league. So, was an idiot. A beautiful idiot. But an idiot nonetheless. Otori was terrifying. Too cold, too sneaky, too prone to throwing around big words to unbalance a person. With as often as Hideyoshi vacillated between hating him and begrudgingly impressed, he hardly had the time to appreciate just how handsome he was, especially when Otori spent all of his time smiling in a way that seemed calibrated to grate on Hideyoshi's nerves. Fujioka was a girl, and while there was nothing wrong with that, she was the kind of girl that dressed like a boy, and even Hideyoshi had the self-awareness to realize that mind-fucking the entire island would get boring after a while. As well as she was too dense to notice Hikaru giving her the bedroom eyes over his kerchief on Friday, and Hideyoshi had a certain pet peeve about obliviousness. Hikaru had a crush on Fujioka. Strike that. Kaoru was blatant, and blunt, and tactless, and reckless, and wore a really nice, spicy sort of cologne that somehow made Hideyoshi feel warmer, just by being pulled into his personal space. He was too grabby, too possessive, too self-assured. He was cocky and obvious, and looked at Hideyoshi like he was a particularly interesting toy, or like a pinup, depending on the lighting. Kaoru had not left a very good first impression. And yet, he'd called and asked, stumbling and blurting, if Hideyoshi would go out with him. It sounded like he'd been working up the nerve, as though the idea that Hideyoshi might have turned him down had crossed his mind. Kaoru called him baby around the others, but used his name in private. Hideyoshi sighed and scratched the back of his neck. He did, just after you called yesterday. Mori raised an eyebrow at him.
It looks like you said yes.
I... kind of. He winced at his own confession. I told him I'd call back with where I'll meet him.
That's so cute! You really think he's going to do something to you? Asked Honey, grinning.
Hideyoshi frowned. I didn't say that.
I think it's smart. You won't be dependent on one another, said Mori, if either of you wants to leave.
Hideyoshi began to think that perhaps he'd looked at Mori for too long. And yet, Mori didn't wear any expression of superiority.
Exactly.
That means you want to meet him somewhere neutral, right? Asked Honey.
Hideyoshi bit his lip. It's not exactly neutral if I'm hashing it out with friends, is it?
I didn't say you should meet him here. We can just tell you the places we know he likes already.
Hideyoshi looked between them, from Honey, near glowing with angelic goodwill, to Mori, engrossed in the bottom of his teacup. He held up both of his hands. I'm not calling him in front of you. That's where I draw the line.
Honey laughed. I get the feeling we'll know by Monday morning. We can wait.